News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. Spending some time talking about 9/11, I think it's important that we reflect on the lives that were changed, the lives that were lost, and the fact that we as a nation did face some changes that day. And I said it when I was talking to my sweet wife just a moment ago. If you heard, I hope you heard that segment. If you didn't, I encourage you to download it because you get the perspective there of someone who managed the home front while, you know, her husband went overseas to war. And she did it extremely well. But listen, the thing that struck me when I was talking to her just a moment ago was we talked about the fact that 20 years ago on 9/10, was the day where it was almost like a day of innocence. Like there was still this, you know, this idea that there was an insulation, there was a safety factor, there was a life as usual, that we hadn't had 9/11 yet. Well, we're 20 years down the road and I'm watching what's going on and I'm thinking the difference now is we should know better. Joe Biden was in office back then. He should know better. He was there on 9/10 and 9/11. He should know better. And yet, literally, the same nation from which the terrorists sprang that came over here and did those deeds that took so many lives and changed the trajectory of our nation, of my family, and of many other families, that guy's in charge right now and made a complete mess out of Afghanistan. Whereas the soldiers won the war, that the man in the suit lost the peace. And one of the things that strikes me, I'm sitting here looking at an article right now by, it's on Fox News, but it's literally an interview with Rob O'Neill, the guy from SEAL Team 6 who shot bin Laden. And he talked about the motivations they had. And he talked about the fact that he told Chris Wallace in an interview, he thought it was a suicide mission to go get bin Laden. Now, all of them did, but they were willing to do it. Because I heard that the way he described it was, when the woman on the 90th floor of the tower decided it was better to jump at a 90-floor height to her death than to be burned alive in that building, he thought, someone's got to go do something. And they were willing to do it. And he made the point. He talked about he said there were people running out of the towers to live. This is a direct quote from Rob O'Neill. And there were policemen and firemen running up to die. And we have those people there, and it's very, very important to realize that. Those are the good guys, and they're out there, O'Neill said. And when the demons come, someone's going to be there to defend you, and America should realize that. Folks, we have to know better. And we cannot forget 9/11, 20 years ago tomorrow, changed the trajectory of the world. And if we allow ourselves to slip back as if at 9/10, 20 years ago, then 9/11 could happen again. Not on my watch, by God. Not on my watch. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio. You can find us on rightsideradio.org. We're with you everywhere you go. And we're solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Spending some time talking about 9/11. Wasn't that a beautiful just like memorial there, Copper, in the last break? That was very cool.
It was, yeah.
I mean, that just made me want to go sit down with a cup of coffee somewhere and just enjoy some time. But hey, the phones are open, by the way. 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. I'd love to hear your 9/11 story. I got two on the line right now. Let me go ahead and get Kenny, Copper, when you get a chance. Let me go ahead and get Kenny from Huntsville on line four. Hey, Kenny, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, what's on your mind?
Phil, I'm with you. I'm on. Just as a side note, well, I have a lot of friends. We listen to you, and we call you Mr. Right, and you're right in many, many ways.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
But 9/11 is not hard for me to forget because it's my birthday.
Oh, wow.
And we were on a, we were coming into Paris, and we got to our hotel, and I throwed my bags down on the bed, and I turned the TV on, and there was this sick movie on the TV, and it had an airplane running into a big building, and I yelled at my wife, and I said, "I want you to see something. Look at this." And then about that time, of course, the other one hit.
Wow.
But we were scheduled to leave the next day, but we obviously stayed five more days. Not a bad place to be.
No, I guess you shut down. Yeah.
We rode the train over to the American Embassy, and the flag was at half staff. There was hundreds of people there. And the embassy grounds are huge. I'd say it's as wide as a football field, maybe 30 or 40 yards. It was about knee deep in flowers.
Wow.
And people were crying. I raised my camera to take a picture of the flag down at the embassy. And I had a military man standing beside me and asked me not to do that. But, it was a very, very interesting experience, and there was about 20 of us traveling through Europe at the time.
Wow.
But that's my experience of 9/11.
Kenny, thank you for sharing that. That is, there's nothing I could say to add to that. And I appreciate, and in fact, I hadn't even thought about people being in foreign countries and seeing the reaction, because the whole world really reacted to this. And, all right. Hey, Kenny, thanks for calling in, man. We really appreciate that very much. And let's never forget. Hey, I see on line five, I think I know that person. Line five, is that Caitlin on line five? Oh, that is my girlfriend. Hey, girl, how are you doing?
Yo, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. For the world to know, this is my daughter, who I call my girlfriend, but she's grown and paying her own bills and making her way in life. But, well, hey, darling, what's on your mind?
Well, I heard Mom's segment, and she said maybe it'd be good to get the kids' feedback on this. And I thought, well, why not call in? So here I am.
There you are. Well, do you remember where you first recognized or heard about the events of 9/11?
Oh, yeah. I was in fourth grade in Miss Hall's class, and we got the news that it happened. And I believe she had a TV in the classroom. And so we turned it on, but I remember going and sitting in Mom's office not long after it all happened, waiting to hear, you know, about Grandma Jenny, making sure that she was okay.
Yeah, because for the world to know, my mom lived in D.C. at the time, and so yeah, that was definitely a first thought too, was what was going on there, and the phones were jammed up, and it was hard to get calls through too. Mm-hmm. Well, so I guess, darling, so that next year was a weird year for us as a family. What stands out? What was your recollection?
That's a loaded question.
I know it is.
But yes, Mom was right. It was an absolutely hard time, but from you and from her both, it was ground into me that it was worth it. That it was standing up and fighting for our country and for, you know, our principles, for our freedoms, and not letting evil have its day or its place in our world. And so I knew what you were doing, while it's hard for us, it was necessary. And at such a young age, you know, I went through the process of the other side of the world becoming very close and personal, and my world becoming from going small to very big. But it was a good lesson. I learned from a young age of what it means to be a patriot, what it means to support my country and to fight for it. And I'll never forget that.
Wow. 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 That, all right, I got to collect myself now. But I tell you what, darling, I think that you and your brother and you know, of course, now extended family with Anna and with little Declan and soon to be another, is we have been blessed by seeing kids grow up better than us. And so I love you. Thank you for calling in, my girl.
Of course. Love you, too.
All right. Talk to you soon. Hey, I got them stacked up right now. Do I have time? Yes, I do. I think what line two, Harry from Athens, is probably next. So let me go ahead, Copper, if you can get me line two, Harry from Athens. Hey, this is Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Harry, what's on your mind?
Hello, this is Harry from the Right Side of Athens. I enjoyed your conversation with Charlene, but I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do we have to wait 2.5 years for a Republican president to call in a drone strike against the Taliban hierarchy?
I think at this point, yes, we do, unless there is something that literally comes out sometime soon that they cannot avoid. And I say that they're avoiding Afghanistan left and right now, but it may certainly take about another 3.5 years before we're able to see someone in that position who is willing and able to lead by strength and not lead by weakness.
Thank you very much. My bride and I have been married 46 years, so good luck to you.
Well, thank you, sir, and congratulations to you. Well, all right, that was Harry from Athens. Let me keep going here. I get the phones are they're just lighting up right now. 866-494-9866 if you want to call in. Tell me your 9/11 story, and I see on line three I've got Frida from Huntsville. Hey, Frida, Phil Williams from Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
This is Rita.
Hi, Rita. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I remember very well. I was putting my husband on an airplane, and we watched it go into the towers at the terminal where he was supposed to be leaving. And then I remember we went down, and they told us that if we wanted to get out of the airport, that we were going to have to go now, because otherwise we would be kept there for probably the next 3 days. No one would leave.
Wow.
And it was right after that we heard that the plane went down at the Pentagon, and my brother-in-law was at the Pentagon that day.
Oh, is he okay?
He was not. Yes, he was not injured, thank God, but we did not hear anything for 3 days.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow.
So it was a pretty traumatic time.
Well, it was, and that's people have all these different perspectives and positions. They know where they were in time, but some of them, like you, I mean, you were literally in a position where you had a family member literally in one of the danger zones, and you yourself were sitting in an airport and were told you had to move or be locked down. That's amazing. Well, Frida, I'm sorry, go ahead.
They told us don't even bother. They said don't even bother to get your luggage. Just go.
Wow.
And I was so upset because we were trying to get in touch with my husband's sister the whole time that I live in Alabama. He was at the airport. I had him in Nashville. And I literally drove the wrong way home. I didn't even know I was going the wrong way until I hit the Kentucky border.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's...
I was so upset.
that's the time in which we lived. I mean, it was that much of a distraction, that much of a mental and emotional moment there for the world, but especially for us here in the U.S. Rita, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you sharing your story. Well, folks, I've got line four. I've got line four and five, but we have to take a short break. So we're going to go ahead and move to this short break. And if you guys can hang on, I know I've got Nicholas and Gary still hanging on the line. Love to hear your story. And then we'll come back. And before we go, I want to leave you with one of the most inspiring speech segments that I've ever heard. Ronald Reagan. So I've got to leave myself time for that. Just be aware. We're going to go out, you know, with something that'll make you proud. Phil Williams. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. And yes, you can listen to us anywhere you are by going to rightsideradio.org and just click listen live. Love this audience, man. I've got the greatest people. One of them hung on through the break by now. Let me go into line five, Copper, and Gary from Decatur. Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. Thanks so much for hanging on during the break. What's on your mind?
Well, if you want to know what's going on in 9/11.
Absolutely. Tell me your story, sir.
Well, we were coming back from cruise with the Enterprise Battle Group.
Wow.
We were we had just come back up the Suez, and we went to port in Sicily, and we was, you know, doing routine maintenance or lockdown shaft. And all of a sudden it came over, recall came over, and everybody was getting back to the ship. And we got underway with a lockdown shaft. And if you're in the Navy, you know that doesn't ever happen.
Wow.
And the skipper came on, and he showed us, well, we closed circuit showed what the towers were doing and everything. And we were immediately extended, and we steamed off over to Israel. And on the way, we had a fishing boat stop by, and they went down to the armory and got some stuff. So we knew what that was going on. But when we got back home was the big thing. You know, we'd been on cruise all summer, and when we got back to Norfolk, I've never seen that. I'd been in the Navy for 10 years, and the piers were armed. You know, they were sandbags, 50 cals. All the guard shacks were armed with full combat gear the guys had, and it was definitely a different world we came back to.
It definitely was. Well, first of all, thanks for your service, Gary. I appreciate you very much. And, yeah, I remember heading to Fort Bragg, like, soon after 9/11, and the airlift was underway. And just this constant stream of C-17s and C-5s taking off and flying over the barracks where we were deploying out of. But you're right. I mean, it changed the lay of the land. Everything became very real for folks who were already in uniform, didn't it?
Oh, it certainly did. We were, you know, of course, when we got detached from the battle group, we were wondering what, you know, because we had a full load of missiles, what we were going to do. And when we got to Israel, everybody was trying to figure out what we was going to do.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Gary, thanks for hanging on to the break, man. That was sure a story worth hearing. And I appreciate your service and those who served with you. So, Gary, thanks, man. You have a great weekend. Well, listen, folks, I want to do something. I want to take some time here. This is about a 2-minute segment, not quite 2 minutes. But it's something I want us to remember who we are, all right? That we have, as a nation, gone through so much over time, and we have always recovered, and we have always persevered. And there's times when we have to stand up and we have to punch back. And there's times when we have to speak out and we have to do the things that are hard. Ronald Reagan gave a speech in the 60s, believe it or not, one of the greatest speeches ever given. And I want to play a clip for it for you now before we end the day. Copper, go ahead and play it.
That the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face. That their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. This is the meaning in the phrase of Barry Goldwater, peace through strength.
Folks, I'm just going to tell you, that speech will rattle your bones. But it should also remind you who we are. There is a price worth paying. There is a nation worth preserving. There is a custom and a tradition worth maintaining. There is a life worth living. And I'll be honest with you. I feel like right now there is an absolute movement to try and take some of that away and to pretend that 9/11 was just that thing that happened in the past. Well, this weekend I encourage you, remember it. Remember it. Because it did make us different, but it made us better. And the very idea that some would say that this nation is not worth preserving, well, by God, not on my watch. And I know I've got an audience out there of right-side ruffians who believe the same thing. So you go and have a weekend, but somewhere in the middle of it, reflect and come back on Monday, and we'll keep on going and brewing up how we're going to take this all back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and live online at rightsideradio.org. I love you. Honey, I'm taking the top off the Jeep, and I'm coming home. I'll see you in a little while. Bye-bye.